Bibles, if you would, please, and find Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we have been on Wednesday nights. It's been a while. We've had some interruptions with our summer Bible conference, but those have been good interruptions. And to be honest with you, I love interruptions because it keeps you from having to sometimes deal with me. And it's good for an interruption to come every now and then. It's helpful. Every speaker that we've ever had, whether it's our pastoral staff or whether it's an invited guest, an evangelist or another pastor or missionary, have you noticed how they always solidify and fortify what we do here? And it's good to know that there's other churches around this city and even around the world that are really staying true to the Word of God. One lady said recently, a visitor said, "I think these Tuesday night meetings are fantastic. I go to a church in Florida and they would never do anything like this because they don't get along very well." So I'm so grateful that we have a city with like-minded pastors who get along with each other and fellowship with one another. And really, Indiana is an unusual state. And I was told that many years ago, and of course, having preached in the state before I arrived, I learned to love the pastors of this state, and especially our city. So we're grateful. But we've been dealing with emotions. We've dealt with several types of emotions, and tonight I want to deal with an emotion that I've never heard a message on. Now you may have. I don't have the corner of truth on this. But I want to deal with the emotion of shame. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about sins that bring shame. That's not what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about dealing with the emotion of change. And rather, we're not talking about the specific effects or causes of shame, but rather identifying characteristics of shame. I think sometimes if we can identify the characteristics of certain things, it will help us make some connection to that with our own mind and spirit and heart. Many people suffer shame because of exploitation of what happened in their childhood. Many people experience shame because they are so ashamed of an act that they did. They can't hardly forgive themselves for it. And I've met people like that. I've tried to help folk like that. If we're not careful, shame can cripple us. Now, aren't you grateful for the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and how it cleanseth us from all sin? And so as we look at this word shame in the book of Proverbs, and all of it is contained right in the book of Proverbs, I'm sure more can be said. These sermons that are built out of word studies, these sermons are local. In other words, they have to do with the word shame in the book of Proverbs. There's also Greek words for shame in the New Testament. But there's a different connotation than what Solomon was given to us by way of the Holy Spirit. And so shame is found 14 times in the book of Proverbs, our English word. But there are 5 Hebrew words. And so I want us to do a really quick word study. Now, the Hebrew words will be on the screen for you, not because we like Hebrew. I never took a course of Hebrew in college. I did take Greek, but I didn't take Hebrew. So I know a little Hebrew and I know a little Greek. The little Greek owns a restaurant and the little Hebrew a suit shop. So by no means do I stand as an authority of the languages. I am not. But I can study it on my own and I can learn from it. As you search out words, as you use your tools that you have in your library, perhaps you have them on your computer like I do. It makes it easy for us. But 5 different Hebrew words. Let me just give them to you real quick because they kind of hone in on definition. And each one has a little bit different take. So let's look at the first one. The first one is simply, it just simply means to disgrace. It has to do with bringing humiliation or reproach upon a person or a thing or a cause. So that's one Hebrew word. The second Hebrew word has to do with being disappointed. It actually means to pale in comparison to. Confounding is another word of this Hebrew word in our English Bibles. It has to do with a delay. Because there is a delay, sometimes that delay can bring shame. You hesitate and delay, and it costs you. And so think about these word meanings, and they'll click as we work our way through these scriptures this evening quickly. And then the third Hebrew word means to blush. So now we have a physical appearance of this matter of shame. It means to be put to shame, to bring a specific type of reproach upon us. And then the fourth word means to wound. In other words, it is a difficult situation, and it brings hurt and harm. It taunts. It is an insult, is another word according to one lexicon. So, and then there is the fifth word, which means to dishonor. So when we look at this, our English word, shame, it really carries a lot of weight in other areas. Anything from disgrace to disappointment to dishonor to a blush, to a hurt, to a wound. And so when we get our minds around those words, I have looked at these 14 verses and I have categorized them in two categories. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time. It's just going to be a real fast search. And in both points that I want to present to you, we'll start at the beginning of the book, so it makes it easy. I only do that to make it easy. I would like to do it differently, but I'm trying to make it easy for you because you're going to use your Bible in the book of Proverbs. There's two things that I want us to see. The first one is shame belongs to certain types of people. There's nine characteristics of this matter of shame in people's lives. And then number two, how does God use shame? He certainly does it. I didn't say how does he will it. He certainly wouldn't will something that would be shameful or sinful. But how can he use it? We have all been ashamed in some fashion, in some way, in our life. And we get ashamed and we have to apologize for it. Or we could bring more shame, more hurt, more disappointment. Or we could stand and watch our face blush because of shame, or we could hurt somebody with our words. And we all, every one of us, we're human, and people can push our buttons. You know what I mean by that? People, you know, you can have a bad day. You have a bad day and two or three people push your button, and all of a sudden you find yourself saying strong things. No, you've never done that. I can tell by the look on your face. You've never done that. Well, I have. And recently I had to apologize for it. Got egg on my face. And so we have to be so careful. And it's word studies like this that helps us build a resistance to it. That way we will not be in competition. So many people are in competition. They want to get the last word in. They want to be on top of the situation. They want to get the last thing in. And sometimes it hurts them. Well, let's look at these nine characteristics quickly. You can write them down if you like. Shame belongs to, number one, look at verse 35 of chapter 3. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. So shame belongs to the fool. And the word fool means silly. It can be translated stupid. So we do not want to be foolish. We want to be wise. The opposite of being a fool in Proverbs is always a man of wisdom or a woman of wisdom. We do not want to be fools. We want to be wise. So shame belongs to fools, fools who will not learn. They go from one shameful event to another. They do not know how to control their tongue. They do not know how to control their desires. They just can't do it. And they go from one catastrophic event to another, to another, to another. And God is constantly, and we'll find this out in the message, God is trying to use the shame to bring you back to Him. So shame belongs to fools. The second one is shame belongs to lazy people. People who are lazy. Look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 5. Let me show this to you. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. It's referring to a lazy person, a person who has been taught a right work ethic, but they are lazy, and it eventually brings shame. It eventually, when laziness... And many years ago in Troy, I preached a message on laziness. And you say, well, why did you do that? Because we had lazy people in our church. Why else would I preach on anything? Here's how I knew we had a laziness in our church. Are you ready for this example? We were moving a piano one day. There's a great big fellow in our church. And I said, man, he's a big husky guy. He can help us with this piano. Pianos are heavy. After my daughter moved the third time, I said, you got to get you a man. I ain't moving this thing anymore. Pianos are heavy. And so I went specifically and got some big burly guys, had some muscle. One's a great big old guy. He come up on the platform. He says, great, I'll be happy to help. He said, I'll grab the bench. He was serious. He grabbed the bench. The piano was going upstairs. And I knew then we had an issue. The guy who should have been on the heavy end of the piano is taking the bench up the steps. So I waited about 3 or 4 weeks and I let it go about laziness. He came to me and said, Pastor, I am lazy. And I said, well, who can change that? He said, I can. And I said, you ought to then. It's healthy. Preaching is healthy. Laziness. It brings shame. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 2. Here's the third one. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Oh, we know that verse well, do we not? But with the lowly is wisdom. Shame, number 3, belongs to the proud. These are the identifying factors. A proud person will eventually bring shame. Shame to his own testimony, her own testimony. Shame to the family. It will happen. Laziness. People who act foolish, all of it adds up. Let me show you the fourth one. Shame belongs to the wicked. Look at verse 5 of chapter 13. The righteous man hateth lying, but a wicked man is loathsome and cometh to shame. So shame belongs to the wicked man. You say, wow, Pastor, so far if I live in shame and if I live blushing all the time and hurting people all the time. And if I live so despondent that way, where I'm a disgrace and a dishonor, that's awful. It shows that I'm foolish and wicked and possibly lazy and full of pride. All of it does. The word loathsome there, actually, you'll like this. Yesterday, I came early, and I've been coming sometimes before the sun comes up, and I pulled in my parking place. Well, it's not my parking place, where I park normally. Doesn't have my name on it. And I'm not hurt over it. Don't go spray paint the sign. And I notice a skunk, big old fat skunk, digging in the flower bed right next to the door here. And I said, oh, boy. So I got out real easy and watched him. He kept me from getting in the church too soon. Well, yesterday morning, I came in and no skunk outside. But as soon as I walked in this back foyer, it was heavy. And I said, oh, my goodness, that skunk has got in the church. I said, that can't be. Skunks don't go to church because they won't sit in their own pew. You say, now, Pastor, we're not even believing this at all about the skunk. You better. It's true. But what we found out, Pastor Dan is brilliant. He's a brilliant-minded man. I said, oh, my goodness, we got a skunk in the building. So now I'm texting the staff, getting them ready. for what they're going to smell at 6 o'clock in the morning. And what had happened is the skunk sprayed outside and the wind outside took all of it away, but some of it eased underneath the door. Loathsome refers to something that stinks. Wow. That can wake us up. It belongs to the wicked. And then notice number five quickly. Shame belongs to the unteachable. This really blew me away. Look at chapter 13, verse 18, just a few verses from verse 5. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuseth instruction. Wow. Shame shall be to him who refuses instruction. Here's someone who hears instruction, knows what's right, and because they're immature, because they get their feelings hurt, they want to express it. And what happens when you grow up and you're always complaining about how everybody else is treated and how you are not treated right? And you grow up that way. You eventually bring shame to your own testimony. It's awful to do that. And what does that prove? It often proves that you're not learning. If you're not learning, are you unteachable? What does God have to do to us to get us to learn, especially in this area of shame? So when we act like a fool, no wonder sometimes we're made out of fool because we act that way and we get egg on our face. And that's why we need to be sure that we come to church or we have our Bible study or you have a friend and they tell you the truth and you read the truth and God speaks to your heart. Be happy for that. It's a good thing. You need a teachable spirit. If not, you'll bring shame to your family. An unteachable, hard-headed man or an unteachable, hard-headed woman will bring shame to their family. And you know what? Your kids grow up and they get your same critical spirit. They go out and they're just like you are. And you even see it and you don't even like it. Because you don't like yourself when you're that way. And it's just a reminder to us. If we're unteachable, eventually we're going to bring some shame. Look at number 6 in chapter 18, verse 13. Shame belongs, number 6, to those who speak before they have all the facts. Oh, wow. We've never done that, have we? No, not us. We're Baptists. Look at verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Boy, have you ever made an assessment and you didn't have all the facts? We call it inserting your foot in your mouth. And some people just go from left foot to right foot. You ever think you know it all when you don't have all the facts? Well, you can bring a lot of shame to people. And here's the thing. When you figure out that you didn't have all the facts and you spoke before you had all the facts, you're too proud to go back and say you were wrong. And so you're wrecking your testimony and you're bringing shame on yourself. It's not worth it. Somewhere along the line, we got to be teachable, got to grow up, got to take responsibility, got to die to self. Don't wear your feelings on your sleeves. Don't be hurt so easily. The Christian life is the crucifixion life. I am crucified with Christ, Paul said. He's living by faith because of it. That's the way we need to live. Shame. Number 7, let me give it to you quickly. In chapter 19, verse 26, turn with me there if you would. And number 7, shame belongs to those who hurt their parents. Now we're talking about young people. He that wasteth his father and chasteneth away his mother is a son that causeth shame. Wow. You don't have to be a teenager to cause that shame. You could be a young adult and cause shame to your parents. and you got children at home yourself. These are strong verses, are they not? Boy, they get right in our face real quick. They wiggle their way into our heart. They convict us. If we have any kind of conscience, if our minds are not like concrete, thoroughly mixed up and firmly set, and we've got an attitude of teachability about us, we can learn. You don't have to hurt your parents. And I want to tell you something. Your parents, as your parents age and get older, you should be a blessing to them. Shame comes in younger years. When you're 40 and you're still bringing shame to your mom and dad, shame on you. Grow up. Do not bring shame. Be a big boy and a big girl. Shame. Well, I better go on to number 8. I kind of get excited about these. Look at chapter 28, verse 7, as we're coming down to the end. This is number 8. Shame belongs to the riotous. Look at verse 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. Notice it's still in the category of parenting and children. Grown out of the home or still in the home. But, look at verse 7 now. He that is a companion of riotous men, shameth his father. It matters who you hang out with. You cannot run with the skunks and smell like a rose. Just thought I'd throw that in since we're skunking it a few minutes ago. Goes well with it. Look at chapter 29, verse 15. Now buckle your seatbelts. Are you ready for this? Look at what verse 15 says, chapter 29. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame, hurt, embarrassment, disgrace. It doesn't have to be his mother, it can be his father. Discipline is so important. And let me say this, please do not use this verse to beat your kids with. Discipline should be done in love and with great tender care. It should be done not in an abusive manner when you're angry and upset. In the family series, we gave you step by step on how to discipline your children. And never discipline your children without, at the end of it, getting on your knees with them and praying with them. Have the Bible there. So they will know that you love them. So critically important. And then they will not grow up and bring shame to you, hurt you. Then how does God use shame? Well, he never will sin, so he never will shame. But he can use it. And he can use it to build character. Let's go back to chapter 9 in closing. I'm going to run through 3 things real quickly. How does God use shame? First way, to show the vile motive of a scorner. I wish I had time just to preach on a scorner. What an unbelievable character he is in Proverbs. He that reproveth, look at verse 7 of chapter 9. He that reproveth a scorner getteth unto himself shame. And he that rebuke a wicked man getteth himself a blot. I want to tell you something. Scorners can be mean. They have an agenda. The word scorner has to do with a scoffer, one who holds up his nose in derision. He's a mocker. He's not teachable. He has vile motives. So what does God do? He comes along and he tries to bring that vile person back to him. Look quickly, and I wish I had time to spend more time here. There are more verses. Secondly, Proverbs 12:16, if you'll turn there. What does God do and how does he use shame? To show that a prudent person knows how to handle insults. This is a great verse. A fool's wrath, look at verse 16 of chapter 12. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. A prudent man knows how to handle insults. He knows how to handle evil reports. He knows how to turn. He knows how to not give information that people are fishing for. because it could bring shame. It might even be the truth, but it would bring shame. And it's information that's not for your ears. And wise is the man who knows how to handle that kind of thing. Wise is the woman who can handle that kind of thing. Just because something is true doesn't mean that it's everybody's business. And then lastly, for leaders in chapter 14, verse 35, and I'm speaking of godly leaders, to show righteous indignation to those who cause and promote shame. Notice what the Bible says. The king, that's the man in authority, the king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. There's something about a leader that when shame comes, there's something in his heart that says this is wrong and it needs to be fixed. And he's willing to jeopardize himself and his friendship and his influence and those in which he leads in order to teach them. And when a leader has that kind of courage, that kind of balance without rubbing their nose in it, he already knows how to handle the insults of it. So he's not personally grieved and hurt over it. He is a patient person. He just waits it out. Now, I want to say in closing, then we're done. We live with each other every day. We're a church. It's easy for one person in our congregation to bring great shame to their family, to their work, to their boss, to this church. It's easy for you to express yourself over the top in an email, on your Facebook account. It's easy to get caught up in gossip, in the shame of it all. Let me speak to you candidly. Some things is not your business. And some things are not my business. And when it becomes our business, God will give us wisdom to handle it. That's why when I first became your pastor, I wanted to be as patient with everybody here that I could be. And I purposely work at it still today, because there's going to come a time when we may have to chat and take care of issues. And I want you to know that I love you and care for you. I don't want you to bring shame to yourself or your family. So sometimes the conversation can come to a place to where you will understand things better. Or what I love most about you is that you've been well taught and you grow. And though you may not come forward on a regular basis and pray, I'm not against anybody coming forward, but I see change in your life. And that is more precious than anything else. I see you've grown. You've matured. I've grown and matured the 6 years I've been here. The many years that pastored here, he grew in God's grace. Many of you grew under his direct leadership. We're grateful for that. Some of you even go to his father's ministry. We are so thankful for that. And what is that preventing? It's preventing shame. And so when you take a step of growth, you don't have to hang a sign about your neck, "Pastor, I got it." Your life depicts it. Your countenance glows with it. And I tell you what, it's a blessing to my heart. You are wonderful people. I know you're not perfect, and I know I'm not perfect. But God has given us a wonderful relationship. And if either one of us would ever bring shame, it would crush us. May we stay tender. And may we be able to identify the early signs of shame in our own life, lest we hurt one another or hurt our family or hurt our testimony. May God help us to identify shame. The emotion of it can be intense. Would you stand with me, please?